Yes. Wednesday? Wednesday? It's never on the agenda because we don't want other people there. Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six. I think my advice to the next chair of the ALAC is that RFID tagging. All right, I won't go subdermal. I will not necessarily suggest subdermal, although I could do the subdermal. That is within my surgical skill set. But at least RFID tag necklaces or bracelets on those you need for quorum and have a little electric shock mechanism with it will be with a preferred mechanism. So it starts to blink a colour just before they're meant to be in the room, and if they're not in the room when you want them, hit the hit button.
I was actually thinking of a Matrix style system where everyone gets plugged in and then you can't leave, or your lead is just quite short.
There is no escape. Yes, okay.
How about those big noisy things they give you at restaurants when your spot is open?
That.
I think OnStar has an electroshock service.
Okay. And for
happy
those,
I am living.
And for those who don't know, I am in fact by qualification a stress physiologist, I'm not stressed. And if you want to know the nuances and finer arts of applying stress, including those applied with physical shocks and electric shocks, I actually can give the advice. I can quite literally set up the equipment if you're interested. So I'm at your beck and call, sir.
Is it a case of did it, done it, got the diploma, got the T-shirt?
Got the T-shirt, absolutely. All right. The fact that we're still not quorate worries me greatly. So let's go with the readings of the things that you should have been looking at, which is the hard copy was distributed. I'm sure you all spent your break doing nothing other than reading from work plan on. Say again. Microphone, Sebastian.
Yes, we are 8.
We are. Yep, thank you. We are 8, thank you. Somebody must have snuck in. Okay, so still goes. Someone did sneak in. Thank you, Samantha. And now you've embarrassed them because now I know that they've just come in. Okay. Your attention drawn to the charter. In all honesty, who has had time to read through the remainder of this since we've given it out to you? I doubt that many of you have actually had time to read it. So I think it would be a good idea if we at least scanned through it before we take it to resolution. Okay? Thank you. I was just going to look it up on screen. Thank you to Bo's dulcet tones. And, Bo, I think we need to have you actually reading to the record many of the things that we have recorded on MP3s, because I reckon with your voice reading in that tone, our level of MP3 download, those metrics of how many times people listen to the things we have transcribed and done would increase greatly.
I stand ready to read.
Actually, Scott Pinzon says he wants to do a whole bunch of new podcasts, and we have our voice.
That voice is beautiful. It's wonderful. If we can take it up from the deliverable and time frames, I'll just sit and listen.
2.3, deliverables and time frames. 2.31, work plan. As a first step, the DSSAWG shall establish and adopt a work plan and associated schedule. The co-chairs of the DSSAWG shall inform the chairs of the participating SOs and ACs accordingly. The work plan and schedule should include times and methods for public consultation and reporting to the participating SOs and ACs including an expected date for submission of a final report. The tentative schedule included in Annex A will be updated accordingly. 2.32 Reporting. The co-chairs of the DSSAWG shall report regularly to the participating SOs and ACs on the progress of the DSSAWG and at an appropriate time produce a final report on its findings with respect to items 2.1, A, B, and C above. 2.4 Final Report. Following its submission, each of the SOs and ACs shall discuss the final report and may adopt the final report according to their own rules and procedures. The chairs of the SOs and ACs shall inform the co-chairs of the DSSAWG accordingly within 1 month, other term, after submission of the report. 3.0 Members, Staffing, and Organization. 3.1 Membership. Membership in the DSSAWG is open to members of the participating ICANN SOs and ACs. Each of the participating SOs and ACs shall appoint members to the DSSAWG in accordance with their own rules and procedures. There shall be a minimum of one representative from each participating SO and AC. Non-participating ICANN ACs are invited to appoint one or more liaisons according to their own rules and procedures. The chairs of the participating SOs and ACs, or their alternates, shall be ex officio members of the DSSAWG. The ALAC, CCNSO, and the GNSO shall each select a co-chair for the DSSAWG. The co-chairs shall have primary leadership responsibilities for the DSSAWG. The co-chairs are encouraged to collaborate with one another and with ICANN staff support personnel in leading the DSSAWG. The DSSAWG shall also approach the technical and security communities, other DNS experts, and certs to seek their participation in the activities in the WG. The co-chairs of the DSSAWG, after consulting the DSSAWG members, may invite or appoint members of these groups to the membership of the DSSAWG. All DSSAWG participants are expected to be able to demonstrate knowledge or expertise of aspects of the objectives of the DSSAWG and commit to actively participate in the activities of the working group on an ongoing and long-term basis. Participants and liaisons will be listed on the working group's webpage. 3.2, access to and protection of confidential information. Sub-working groups of the DSSAWG may need to access sensitive or proprietary information in order for the DSSAWG to do its work. Thus, measures may need to be established to access and protect confidential or proprietary information. The following procedures are an exception to the standards for transparency and accountability and only apply in cases where members of the aforementioned sub-working groups of the DSSAWG need to access and protect confidential information. Point. In certain cases under this exception, in order to ensure access to and protection of confidential or proprietary information, sub-working groups members of the DSSAWG will be asked to sign a formal affirmation of confidentiality and non-disclosure, see Annex B. In addition, the sub-working groups members of the DSSAWG may be required to sign a non-disclosure agreement for a specific project or issue. No formal non-disclosure agreement is required for membership in the DSSAWG, and a separate email distribution list that is not publicly accessible may be established only to include the sub-working group's members who have signed a non-disclosure agreement applicable to that specific project or issue. Keep going.
Well, at statements of interest, I would suggest it's a very minor modification of those that we have been very much used to. I think we've got over one of the bits which is most important, which is the very new part of the confidentiality aspects And that's something that we do need to have our people firmly aware of. I would probably like you to cut to rules of engagement, and I believe the methodology is fairly standard, so we do need to make sure everyone understands the rules of engagement. And the really rules of engagement and, is pretty much it. We might have a quick moment at appeals, but rules of engagement and appeals would be the ones I'd look at now.
Where is rules of engagement? I don't.
3.5.
Oh, okay. Section 3.5, rules of engagement. The co-chairs, in consultation with participating SOs and ACs, are empowered to restrict the participation of someone who seriously disrupts the DSSAWG. Any such restriction shall be reviewed by the participating SOs and ACs. Generally, the participant should first be warned privately and then warned publicly before such a restriction is put into place. In extreme circumstances, this requirement may be bypassed. This restriction is subject to the right of appeal as outlined below. 3.6 Working Group Methodology. 3.61 Standard Methodology for Making Decisions. Shall I continue?
I think the standard methodology is exactly that, something that any of us have participated in work groups in the past are very familiar with, particularly those involved with the more recent cross-community work groups. The definitions of consensus, for consensus, divergence and no consensus are drawn from the ones that we all had fairly recent experience in and seem to work very successfully. In the recommendation 6 model, at least. If you could do appeals process 3.6.2, and then I think we can probably go to vote.
3.6.2, appeal process. Any DSSAWG member that believes that his or her contributions are being systematically ignored or discounted or wants to appeal a decision of the DSSA working at WG or the participating SO or AC should first discuss the circumstances with the DSSAWG co-chairs. In the event that the matter cannot be resolved satisfactorily, the DSSAWG member should request an opportunity to discuss the situation with the chairs of the SOs or ACs or their designated representatives. In addition, if any member of the DSSAWG is of the opinion that someone is not performing their role according to the criteria outlined in Section 4.1 of this document, the same appeals process may be invoked. Continue.
I think the other is the get-out-of-jail-free card. And how the fact that we can actually close a working group, which I always like to see in a charter. It's all great to start things, but it's very good to be able to finish them. And obviously there'll be a section 6.0 on the charter document history. I need you to think for a moment, because this is a blending, speaking to the ALAC now, this is a blending of things you will be familiar with from CCNSO work groups and things you will be familiar with at least from more recent GNSO work groups. We believe, the authors of this draft, that it is a satisfactory marriage and not an unreasonable child to raise. But we do need to have the endorsement of the co-chartering organisations. And so when we take this to vote, you are actually making a landmark point in ICANN's history as far as the mechanisms for cross-community work groups is. Open for discussion on what you have read and have had read to you. Go ahead, Evan.
I don't know if I have a real problem with it, but I'm confused by number four. Okay. That basically says we're about to make this charter, but in case the charter isn't suitable, then we'll modify it. I mean, in one sense, it's stating the obvious. In the other, because, I mean, obviously, every SO and AC has the ability to reconsider the charter. But at the same time, it's like the charter is starting from the very beginning with the anticipation that it's going to be inadequate. So I'm a little bothered by that.
Rest easy, Evan, is what I'm going to say to you. This is the first time that you have not had a single chartering organisation that has ultimate responsibility. You actually have several chartering organisations whose cultures are, up to date, very, very different. And it was the agreement and advice of the representatives of all of the SOs and ACs on the drafting group that some of them would feel very much more comfortable with this. It's not going to be... It's a bit like having the, get-out-of-jail-free card. It's certainly not something that I would expect, as I would also hope, not to have an appeals process charter subsection exercise. So I can say let's hope it's a problem we don't have, but if we do, we have a mechanism to deal with it. Eric?
Thank you, Chair. In written comments previously on related issues, as well as the statements from the floor during the previous general meetings, I've addressed the issue of legal barriers to data in order to make data-driven rational policy, data-driven policy decisions. I don't suggest that it's necessary to cure the defect of the blanket non-disclosure possibilities which are contained in this charter. And I appreciate the momentousness of this charter as the product of more than one SO or more than one AC. I appreciate the... So I look forward in the future to correcting the legal barriers to data issue or legal barriers to legitimate research so that policy may be driven by data rather than by belief systems. Thank you.
Whilst it's not an impediment to us with an echo, okay, putting our imprimatur and our ratification to this, I think we should make sure that that's taken out for us to look at. I don't want to just lose it in the minutes of this meeting. So can we make sure that that is picked up as an action item, because it is something that we're going to need to face more and more. And, of course, if the future of ICANN includes what many in ALAC believe would be a very good idea, and I trust at large, having more data-driven basis for decisions would be a very good thing indeed. So we will have to go down that quagmire. Any other questions? Because I do have a comment that we need to make sure we catch up on. Okay, now Sebastian is still in the room, so we could in fact ask him just to very briefly repeat his concerns rather than me take my notes and read them for him.
Thank you, Cheryl. My concern is about the reference to the NRO in the first paragraph of this document, and then subsequent reference sometime to the NRO, but very often to ACs and ASO. That means that when we are referring to AC and ASO, we are not referring to NRO, we are referring to whatever, the other organization, or maybe to ASO, but we have not listed ASO as an organization. Then, and at the same time, NRO is a friend organization, but outside of the ICANN organization, and I am not sure that even if they represent or act as the ASO, it's a good idea to have them as a chartering organization. It's why I have suggested when drafting this document to put ASO and somewhere NRO will act on behalf of the ASO somewhere, but it's not reflected in this final draft. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. During the discussions in the drafting, in response to Sebastian's concerns, the exploration in the drafting committee was along the lines of what the ASO Memorandum of Understanding did and did not empower and did not say. And it boiled down to that it was up to the NRO as ASO, notice my words, it was up to the NRO as ASO whether they want to be included as NRO or ASO. We asked them, and at this stage, it is a looking at my email list, dated 15th of November, the NRO Executive Committee will get back to us as of the 15th of November, knowing that we'll be ratifying at this meeting if they have a problem with the drafting language. I can find no evidence that they have got back to us asking us to change the drafted language. Okay? And that's signed by Arturo and Axel if we want to make sure we know that it is actually the bosses of these things that are looking at it. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, if this working group was a legal entity that was going to take actions, then it might be problematic to have parents that are not directly related. Given that it is a working group that is not empowered to take formal actions on its own part, I really don't see the problem. You know, if this was in some other guise, an ICANN-ITU joint working group, then so be it. And one can think of many other organizations in the internet realm that we might want to work on some particular issue or another. And I personally don't see the potential problem.
Okay. Any other discussion on this before we put a motion to ratify and endorse? Is there anyone in the AC room or anyone online that's of the ALAC that wants to raise any issues? Seeing none, I'm now going to call for someone to stand as putting the motion to ratify and endorse the draft, soon to become final, Joint DNS Security and Stability Analysis Work Group, DSSAWG, Draft Charter, version 1.0, 12th of November 2010, as we have discussed and tabled at today's meeting. I see Alan, and do I see Bo as a seconder? Thank you very much. Multiple seconds. Everybody wants to second. Okay, so we're going to put it to the vote. Because we're face-to-face, we can do it the fun way. I normally start with, you know, who wants to be recorded, who their name against it, who wants to be recorded with their name in abstention. I can see most people today. I'm going to ask for hands raised to vote for the motion. Doing a count. Hold them up till Heidi counts, please.
Only
ALAC.
Only
ALAC. It's all right. Heidi can sort them out. Adam does need to be seen. Keep waving so we know it's you. It's all right. Yes, sir. I count. Now that in fact my vote has also been counted, I'm delighted to inform you that of the members of the ALAC here, and that is some 10 of us in the room, we have a unanimous vote endorsing and affirming this very much landmark moment. And I want to say, who didn't? Well, sorry, abstention with noted, thank you, or a vote against. Voting against or abstaining, Sebastian?
I am abstaining. I am not against at all. I just want to explain my vote.
Yes,
I just,
that's fine.
It just. I feel uncomfortable with an outside organization to be listed in this document, but I am fully supportive of the work who will be done, and well done if it's done with NRO. And I hope that ALAC will be participating a lot in this group. It's very important. Thank you.
And I apologise for not noting you as an abstention. I was just assuming that, and it is 11 members in the room. So we have a quorate vote of everyone in the ALAC who is here and one abstention. Thank you very much. Well done. Moving on to our next statement. The draft ALAC statement on the draft final applicant guidebook. And here I'm assuming you've all had plenty of time to look at the document. It's been on a wiki. It's been out and ready to go. Does anyone want to have any part of this discussed? Open for discussion. That looks simple enough. Evan wants to go ahead.
I just want to make a note that after a conversation with an ALS member, Annalisa, last night, we had a conversation based on that. I'm going to propose adding three words to it that I wanted to bring to your attention now as opposed to doing it on the wiki, and that is in the third line of the document, deliberate step backwards, just to say deliberate step backwards in certain areas, just that it's not backwards across the board, but only that there are certain specific areas of this where we believe it's regressed. So I'm certainly amenable to that, and I hope that you all are too.
So we're looking at the document as drafted with the friendly amendment of the insertion of three words. Has staff captured those additional words? Evan, if you could insert the words with the staff between backwards and away on line 3 of the introductory paragraph.
I'll change the wiki right now.
A wiki will be matched up in a moment. So with those editorial changes made, does anyone object to that friendly amendment going in? Seeing no one, I now have the honour of putting the draft ALAC statement on the final draft applicant guidebook to the at-large advisory committee for ratification. Does anyone want to put that? Who wants to put their name to that one? I thought you'd all be rushing. Sebastian, go ahead. You've got Sebastian, and then seconding? Mohammed, thank you very much. Oh, Adam was over there. I saw him in distance, but I think Mohammed got his hand up earlier. So, ratification vote, raising of hands for a yes vote. How can we have 12? I don't have 12 ALAC members here. Okay, who didn't vote in the last minute? Thank you. Okay. Okay. We now have a statement on the draft final applicant guidebook to go in the public comments period at the end of this week. Congratulations, one and all, but more importantly, congratulations to the work team who put such hard yards into developing this. And I want to recognise Evan and his leadership in the new GEOS work group. It's been excellent. Thank you, Evan. It was a big team, I know, but it always helps if the ship's being steered well.
Just one note, I've been asked to convey this to the NCUC, which is awaiting our endorsement of this and is considering supporting our endorsement of it.
Make it so. If I can find the agenda, because I was in the middle of emails looking for responses from NRO and ASO, what do we have next? We've got 2 out of 3 done. Okay. Our next point of business. Sorry?
The term.
Yes?
One draft.
Okay. Can we have the drafting that Alan has done up on screen, or is it short enough to read to the record, Alan? Go ahead, Olivia.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Just a comment with regards to the vote that has just taken place. I believe this is a significant step. There is a meeting this afternoon of the Recommendation 6 Working Group with the board, and I believe that the board will then therefore be advised directly that this vote has taken place, and that certainly adds a lot of weight to our arguments. Thank you.
And what I would like to do on that, because we do have those three extra words, is if it's humanly possible for staff to get me a new front page on the statement, so a print copy of what we've now ratified with the word draft removed and the three additional words in, I'll be happy to table for the purposes of this afternoon's meeting as well.
Thank you, Cheryl. If I may suggest just one thing, and it's not a significant change. The last paragraph has one word that is in bold characters, unacceptable. If I could say that the amendment which was made would be in bold characters, perhaps, so as to draw attention that it's not an outright thing. It would be a soft start, but a hard end. Thank you.
I will just ask if anyone objects to that. I think as a formatting issue, that's probably very reasonable. You happened that, Evan? Okay, so the three additional words, the new words, are in bold case, as is the unacceptable at the end. Coming back to you, Alan, have staff got a copy of your text now, or do you just want to read it to the record?
Everyone should have it in their email, but I can read it.
Oh, I was going to say, not all of us have spent our time reading our emails, undoing our banking or our anything else while we're in the meeting.
Geez, I forgot my banking. the proposed bylaw amendments on board member term transitions are in alignment with ALAC philosophies related to transitions. The ALAC welcomes and supports these amendments.
Discussion works for me. Everyone happy with that? Just double checking if Matthias is happy with that. Everybody happy with that then? Go ahead, Alan.
For those curious, among other rationales, we have a chair who is stepping down a year before she disappears to facilitate transition. I think the first statement is justified.
Thank you. Okay. Alan, are you going to be putting this motion?
I would be delighted. Delighted.
A delighted Alan is putting this motion, calling for a seconder. She says, losing all capability of speaking the Australian, let alone English language. I see you back there, Adam. Adam has seconded. Put the motion to the ALAC. All those in favour of, raise your hands. We have a vote of 11, and despite all good intents of some people in the audience to subvert the vote, we do have 11. Carlton, were you going to vote for or against? It's back at 12. Well done. There was almost 12 in the room, so we do have a vote of 12. Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, Alan?
I just wanted to point out that if our staff rushes, we will be the first ones to comment on this particular bylaw amendment, and I suspect we may end up being the last also, even if we're the first. But
okay. I believe that we've done an extraordinary few things in what might seem to be very banal to those in the audience, but the background work that goes into putting these documents together and what happens as a consequence of some of these charters is pretty amazing, and I think it's quite appropriate to pat ourselves on the back mutually across the whole world of at large. Because our influence now in some of these cross-community work groups, for example, and our influence in the structure and design of the SO procedures that we've been invited to be involved with is really making a difference to get what we're meant to be doing, and that is the voice of the individual internet user involved in ICANN policy development processes. Go ahead, Alan.
As this is close to my last formal ALAC meeting, I would like to note the pleasure I have in looking at this document and knowing that it was not drafted solely by one person, with the rest of the ALAC and the rest of at large simply agreeing with it, typically without reading it and without having a lot of comment on it. This process, although not yet perfect, is getting a lot better, and that's rather pleasing.
That's a good point to see growth from, indeed. Adam, come and sit up here with me. We don't have to leave the room to go to the facilities. We have facilities in-house here. There's a booklet. There's a booklet boy. There's a big booklet at the back with a little man drawn on it.
Okay.
So, welcoming as we are now, I can either have three to the right or one to the left and two to the right, or you can switch around.
We take you
go for it. Okay, I'm delighted to welcome to the table, as they sit, the outgoing chair, Wolfgang, the incoming chair, Adam, and do we have an official title that's official yet? Thank you. And the incoming associate chair, Jacqueline, who, after all, is one of our own from very early on. Very pleased to see you back in the system of the nominating committee. Now, I'm going to ask... Alan, you're available for the next 15 minutes? Yes. I'm actually going to not now chair because I've got to disappear to another meeting. But NomCom, here's your audience. Sell it.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us, and I'm sorry that I've not been participating as an ALAC member, but it's very nice to have actually been involved in a couple of votes, so thank you for that. But I will, if there are more, I'll try and come back. So I'm here in capacity as the incoming nominating committee chair, and Wolfgang is still the chair of the nominating committee and will be until some immaculate moment during the AGM when he transforms to me. If you watch Doctor Who, the British, it's a little bit like that. So on Friday at some point I become the nominating committee chair, and that's not the slides, but it doesn't matter. Let's see what we were going to say. I suppose the most important thing is... Yes. We can't see it. That doesn't matter. The blue block is the nominating committee. And as I'm sure you know, our task is to select over a three-year period a large proportion of ICANN sort of leadership, yourselves in many ways. We select a majority of the voting board directors of the board, 8 out of the 15, over the three-year period, by the way. We select leadership for the GNSO, for the CCNSO, and for the ALAC. Are, I think, extremely important in representing the public interest in ICANN and ensuring that ICANN's non-profit status under California law. What you're looking at is a way of bringing the public interest into the leadership of the organization and the policy-making processes of the organization to ensure that it is actually representing the public interest and not just the commercial stakeholders and the other stakeholders that have a direct interest in ICANN's functioning. The next slide, please. Oh, yeah.
Just to correct you, if I may, 8 on 16. You have to change your mind. When you will be chair, there will be 16 board members.
Absolutely right, and it's quite a joy that there are now 16. So we no longer... select the majority of the board, but I think the at-large is actually representing the public interest, so effectively it hasn't changed. Yes?
Thank you, Adam. I think it's seat 15 was you, so it's 15 board members.
No, it's 16 because the CEO is ex-officio board member,
okay,
and not having a number in his seat. It's why at-large selects board 15 seat number 15, but we are 16 in the future board.
So the CEO doesn't have a seat, he just stands up.
give him a swing or something, he'll be fine. So I think looking at the committee, it's a large committee and it draws its membership from throughout the ICANN community. And very importantly, of the 21 members that are going to exist this year, five are from the ALAC. Each of the regions gives us a delegate, and you can see the names there. We have Yehovia, Vivek, Yurio, Eduardo, and Jose. And also from the Security and Advisory Committee, there's Vanda, who I think people would agree has been one of the more, you know, the longest-serving members of the at-large community and very important to us. So it's good to see her also on the committee there. I think it's important to have a large committee. It brings diversity and there's sort of a safety in diversity. We are a committee that works in many ways in a confidential environment, and there is a safeguard in having a large committee from different from all the different constituencies. I think you can feel safe that nothing untoward goes on in the committee. There's a safeguard in having this diversity and also representation from all the different parts of the organisation. We make our own procedures. We are independent of ICANN. Once you send us a delegate, then they're not your representative. however, we do want you to communicate with them and do want you to help inform, particularly about candidates. You know, just because you've given us the delegate, don't just forget them. Please help them and support them in their outreach to find good candidates. But we're an independent committee. We make our own formal procedures. We have a code of conduct that provides a very strong commitment to confidentiality, to honesty, to all the good things that you would hope. And all of these are published on the website, which is simply nomcom.icann.org, the typical sort of formula that we follow for organizations within ICANN. The next part of this really says, what do we want and how can you help us? I think there's really two things that... Oh, so if you just go back, that was me jumping on. It's really about, importantly, how can the nominating committee be more transparent and how can we improve our communication? So that's something that I'd be very interested to hear from you. And then, of course, your advice on the type of criteria and characteristics of the candidates that we should be looking for. What are the challenges that ICANN is facing? ICANN across the board. We're not just thinking about the directors. There tends to be, within the NOMCOM, a focus on the directors. They are not the only people we select for, and they are, you know, perhaps they're we sometimes see them as the pinnacle of the organisation, but this is a bottom-up organisation. The ALAC members are equally important. So please think about good candidates for the ALAC members. I'm sure you know people who might be a good CCNSO representative, CCTLDs. I'm sure you know people who could work in the GTLD space. So as Carlos has moved from the ALAC into the GNSO this year. So help us across the board. We really do need your advice on candidates, but also on the characteristics and skill sets and ideas that we should be bringing into the organization. And the next slide, which is the final slide, and this is what we are actually selecting for this year. It's two members of the ICANN board, three members of the at-large, so this is particularly important, and it's one each from the African region, from the Asia, Australia, Pacific region, and one from the Latin American and Caribbean islands. So please note that, and two members of the GNSO Council and one member for the CCNSO, and they will all take their seats in the AGM, which will be held somewhere in Africa, October of next year. And that's our website, and we will try to provide updated information as best we can throughout the year, and you will see our procedures and our code of conduct that we all sign. You'll see the statement of interest, which is the application form, and that's really the critical thing. This meeting is late in the year. Usually the AGM is in October or November, and that's when the nominating committee starts each year. December is rather late, which means we're squeezed for time in terms of candidate recruitment. So I'm hopeful that we may be able to launch the recruitment process sometime next week, either Wednesday or Thursday. Obviously, it's very difficult to get documents done during meetings, but we're going to try and do that so that we can at least begin the process before the New Year sort of set of holidays. Launching in January would not be good. So final request is please help us. Help your delegates, the people you've sent to us. Remember that they are independent of you now, but you can help them, you can advise them, and please provide them with good ideas about candidates. Thank you.
May I add some very short comments, which are probably important also for you to remember, because a large community is very deeply connected to the whole idea of the nomination committee, because for historical reasons, originally the plan was in the ICANN bylaws from 1998 to have 9 voting at-large members in the board and 9 voting representatives from the private sector, plus the CEO. At this time it was 19 voting board members. And then it was a difficulty to create a procedure how to elect or select the representatives of that large community. And when the first elections took place for 5 voting seats in the year 2000, then the results were rather mixed. Some people said, okay, this election is not the right way. But others said, okay, we have to look for an alternative model. And at large plays an important role in the process. So the outcome in the reform process was that the at large advisory committee was established, the elections were abolished, the nomination committee was created, and to make sure that the at large community is represented adequately in the board, the at large community got 5 voting seats in the nomination committee. This is 1/3 of the voting power in the nomination committee. That means you, the at-large, is the strongest constituency in the nomination committee. I think this is the way, although, and I refer to this, because if you want to have a stronger representation of your community in the board, then please help to recruit the right candidates, which will then also represent the interests of the at-large community in the ICANN board. Today we know after 5-6 years of battle that large is back with 1 voting seat in the board, which is a big achievement. And also again from my side, congratulations to Sebastian, who is the first voting member of at large after a period of 10 years where at large had no votes in the board, only a non-voting liaison. I think this is really a big moment, but I think it's really important to understand that you as a community play in particular a role for the nomination procedure, which substituted the election procedure. And insofar, it's up to you to outreach, to help us to nominate good candidates, both for the board, but also for your own committee, because this year we will have 3 at-large committee members to select. And these are the people who have to work with you. So that means please approach the people where you believe this could be a strengthening of our committee. We need this or that candidate, and only you know, you have the contacts to the RALOs, to the at-large structures. So do outreach, use your network to distribute the SOI so that we have a good pool of candidates that finally will make the right selections and strengthen the at-large advisory committee. Thank you.
Just for the record, the GNSO does have 7 compared to our 5.
They come from the respective constituencies, so it depends how you would, yeah.
It's an organization.
Yeah. It is an organization, yeah. So, any questions, anything we can help with, any ideas? Ideas would be nice, thank you.
Sébastien Bachelet, thank you, Wolfgang, for your kind words. Adam, I think you usually say something about gender balance, and I think it's very important to keep that on your record today too, because it's we need at ALAC level, but also, if I understood well, in the slate of candidates or of applicants received last year, there were not enough women, then it's important to underline that, I guess. Thank you.
I agree, and I've been trying to join the public forum for the last three meetings to make a comment about gender balance throughout the organization. And I think it's very noticeable when we, you know, we're going to look at the public forum and you will look up at the board sitting there and I think you will see, you know, there's one female voting director at the moment and Vanda will be there as a non-voting liaison and Susan Wolf will be there as a non-voting liaison. But this is quite male-oriented, you know, like the Last Supper or something. It's quite noticeable. Why does that happen? And I think one example is actually the nominating committee itself. It's a large committee, and out of 21, there are only three female members of that committee. There's Vanda, there's Maria Farrell, and there's Jacqueline. And the ALAC, with five choices, selected five men. And I think it's about how do we that's not intended as criticism. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, all the other constituencies did the same thing. We have to get into our mindset, and I'm not really talking about it as a potential nominating committee chair, but as somebody who participates in ICANN, we have to think about this as an important aspect of diversity. For the nominating committee, women will tend to have networks into women's organizations of ICT expertise, more so than me, for example. So it's a natural thing that you're probably going to see, you know, you don't have the networks. Our networks, you know, are stronger in these ways. I also think there's been enough research about the work of committees and gender on committees that actually it's not just a matter of political correctness. There are important characteristics and skill sets that we have as different genders. And balance is important. There's enough research there to say that men and women interact differently. So it is very important to the organization. And what I would ask is that in the public forum, somebody raises this. Just remind people it's worth it that somebody will stand up and say we would like the board to, and again, this is not a nominating committee position. This is me speaking as someone who participates in the organization, to have you know, more consideration of gender balance. Stand up and say it. That's what the mics are for. I've not actually managed to get to it because it's under any other business and we tend to run out of time, but that's another issue. So, you know, perhaps the ALAC could mention it in a statement or something similar. Thanks.
Yes, you. Yes, I'm sorry. I am chairing. I forgot. Eric, I think you're first. Anyone else, let me know.
Thank you, Chair. The Grace Hooper event just took place last month in Atlanta. Granted, this is a regional event, but if you're looking for women's networks, I highly recommend the Grace Hooper celebration because this really does bring the largest cohort of women who are engaged in programming and related activity that I'm personally aware of. I'd like to go on to a structural issue. In 2002, there was a change of bylaws which eliminated voting members from the board who were selected by the protocol supporting organization because the change of bylaws ended the existence of the protocol supporting organization. This role has been replaced, or the modern form of that has been the technical liaison group, in which the former members of the protocol supporting organization provide non-voting representation to the ICANN board. There is a significant difference between voting membership on the board and the political power that that holds, if nothing else, the power to veto, and the power or the modality of non-voting, which is persuasive in nature and therefore doesn't avail itself to irrational conflict resolution, which is what voting fundamentally is blocks which are irreconcilable bases of belief. So the process of selecting for goals or abilities or skills or competencies other than technical to be placed on the ICANN board has the net result over time of reducing the technical competency of the ICANN board. And given the substantive and subtle issues which ICANN is responsible to address, leaving those in persuasive rather than in
position to vote is risks wrong decisions being made more frequently than were those persons with the technical competencies to actually be voting members. Thank you very much.
Well, Wolfgang's going to respond, and I think it's useful to hear how his committee considered these types of issues, but we're looking, and it's exactly the kind of comment that we're looking for going forward. Thanks.
Okay, as you have noticed from the report of the review team on the accountability and transparency, though they proposed that the nomination committee is briefed by the board about the needed skill set for incoming voting directors. This changes from year to year because you have different sources and channels, you know, to become a voting or non-voting member of the board. And so each year there's a different constellation and then different needs. Sometimes you need persons more with business experiences, another year more with technical experiences, and another year more with political experience. And so far, this recommendation by the review team is rather important because the target is to have a better communication between the board and the nomination committee if it comes to procedures, not to the details and persons, as I mentioned also yesterday in my intervention. With regard to the technical skills, so it's not only the technical liaison group which sends a non-voting member to the board, it's also the Internet Engineering Task Force, which had been a member of the PSO before, and they have a permanency there. And then you have the Security Stability Advisory Committee, where a lot of technical expertise is also at home, and the Root Server System Advisory Committee, which have also technical expertise. So that means you have four non-voting members in the board, which represents the technical community. I agree that there's a difference between voting and non-voting, and in particular, if it comes to decision, then the technical expertise cannot, constitute a block, which would then, which it can be overruled by the others. So that means, but their argument or the strength comes with the strength of the argument that technical people raise in the board. So I do not think that the technical community is underrepresented in the board. At this moment. So that means, for instance, one person with high technical expertise, Steve Crocker, is a voting member, and he is also the chair of the Security Stability Advisory Committee. So he has certainly some expertise. So that means for the outgoing, for the last year, the NOMCOM did not see, urgent need to bring more technical expertise to the board because other skills were missing. So it could be different in the year 2011, so Steve Crocker is an outgoing board director, so this could raise an issue. But I think we are here in the at-large community, and I think your interest should be primarily, how to represent at-large. But I understand it fully, and I think it's a very good signal that at-large community thinks also in broader terms and feels responsible for the ICANN as a whole. And I think this is a very good signal that we are in one family and we have our individual interests, but we have to think also for the corporation as a whole. But your point is well taken, and I think Adam, as the new chair, will keep this in mind when we are moving towards outreach and then evaluation and selection.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? To Jenny?
Thank you. it's not a question, it's not a remark, it's only something that I am feeling. I am really proud that the actual chair of the NOMCOM and the upcoming one are from the civil society. Both were activists in the World Summit on Information Society, and it is for me a real honor for us, for the activists of the civil society. And even more, Adam have chosen elected chair, no, associated chair, which is also from the civil society. And, pardon?
Former chair,
yeah. So it's really very good for us, very good for at-large, because at-large is mostly from the civil society. And I think we have to make use of this, not to... to advantage people from civil society, but to impact the selection or the appointment of the NAMCOM by this spirit of civil society.
Is there anyone else? Any closing comments then?
Yes, it's really that we would like your help in thinking about candidates. I mean, Eric, you're absolutely right. Technical skills are extremely important. If you can help us think of candidates who may wish to join the pool, and I know that's an unfair kind of comeback in a way, but that's what it's about. You know, we're 21 people, and we'll do our best to find the best candidates we can, but, you know, you have networks, you know people. I'm sure all of you in the room really have an idea of that person might be a good director. There will be a process. It will be on the nominating committee website where you can recommend a candidate. It could be an anonymous recommendation. It could be one that you let the candidate know that you're the person suggesting them. So there's different ways of getting potential candidate names to us. And hopefully this process will begin next week. And look forward to your help. Thank you very much.
Heidi, do we have anything else on the agenda now, or are we done?
No, that finishes today's agenda for the ALAC policy discussion, too. If I could just make one logistics issue at housekeeping, is that now is lunchtime, and that we do have the joint Afro-Africon meeting in this room at 2 o'clock. So if you would like to come to that, that would be most appreciated.